Amen. We're going to go ahead and get me started here. You got me going already? You guys are awesome, man. I'm not even going to look over there no more. I'm just going to talk and get it going. Amen. Miss Dana, she's like, say it, say it. Okay, children, you can be dismissed. They're ready to go back there. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, they're ready, buddy. I heard about their doing something on the video. They're ready. Children, you can be dismissed. We love you. You're blessed. Jim, you got to stay. Okay. Well, Jim was trying to get up, and Sue said, sit down. Anyways, happy Wednesday to everybody. Thank you. Good to see everybody. A great service on Sunday. Great presence of the Lord. Awesome communion. And I just love you guys, and I appreciate you. It was just a thank you, sir. It was a great, great day to fellowship and be together. Just a few other announcements I want to make. Dante and his family will be here this weekend. So we're going to have him in church with us on Sunday. Going to come by the house, fellowship a little bit, and then be here Sunday. And I think a friend of the family may be with him. Also, I wanted to let you know that Faith and Nathan are going to be here Tuesday, and they'll be with us on our Wednesday service. Those are our great friends from Washington State up in that area there. They're going to be on vacation down in Fort Lauderdale, and they said, you know what, let's drive up the East Coast and just slide in to Livonia. And so they're going to come up, and we're just going to celebrate a great time with them. They were and have been very instrumental in this ministry. They helped us get on YouTube and get our webcam together and help us get our speaker stuff together. Just an amazing thing they did, all by email, phone, texting, and a lot of tears, trying to help us because we don't know what we're doing. And she's also responsible for editing our book material for the ebook and has a few other projects that she's going to be doing. They are phenomenal choice people, and we're just going to be blessed to have them with us, and they just can't wait to meet you guys. They've been a part of this ministry for at least over a year now, they're finally getting to meet you guys. So a lot of great things there, and last thing I want to mention was the visa process for Cuba is going on as we speak, so everything's really good there. Our team's getting ready. So would you pray for us that we get everything together so that we can have a great impact down there in Cuba? Cuba, that's what Kennedy used to call Cuba. It's actually Cuba, but we'll call it Cuba. All right? All right, so Wednesday night. Father, love you. Thank you again for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Let Jesus get all the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due his holy, mighty name. All right, last time we got together, we were talking about the battle for the mind. I'm sure you've had a good opportunity to test some of this stuff out on a daily basis because we're attacked constantly in our mind. That is the battle arena. You might want to write that down somewhere, that the battle arena is your mind. That's the biggest issue facing, really, believers today, is dealing with the mind, the mindset, the understanding, discernment, and all those different areas. But we have the victory. The problem is we just have to understand we have the victory and then train our brain to reign and rule by the power of our spirit with the Holy Spirit. So last time we got together, we talked about the true character of a person is not discovered by their words, but by their actions. They will only do what is in their heart, not what comes out of their mouths. How many of y'all been noticing that lately? With people around you, people that say they're going to be there and they're not, they promise to do this or that for you, they owe you money, whatever it may be, and you know, it's just lip service. Remember mom and dad used to say that, don't give me no lip service. And so that happens a lot of times, so we're going to get away from that as we train our brains and get ready. Remember I said our worship must come from within our hearts, not merely just the words. That's why I love spontaneous worship. I appreciate, you know, if there's people listening tonight that use hymnals or whatever or printed pages, that's fine. Or if you read off the screen, that's okay. I got all that. But I like to get off the screen, get out of the book, and get into the Spirit and begin to worship a new song and then write our own songs. I believe we have the capacity and the ability. There's songs that have not been written yet that are in heaven right now. They're waiting to be deposited. There's books yet to be written. There's a lot of great things, sermons yet to be preached, that have to come out of the realm of the Spirit. And the problem is that we're so carnal and we stay so one-dimensional that we miss out on God. And so, look, we got to get into that vein, and that's what I was talking about. Our worship must come from within our hearts, not merely the words. And so the spirit man is what we're going to strengthen to do what? To cause the soulical man to steer the flesh and get us to where we need to be. I don't want to get into too much more from last week other than Psalms 119. Again, go back and have an opportunity to read the word book there. All of Psalms 119 talks about the word. Remember verse 129 through 130, the word keep, nastar, is to do what? To guard and to be a watchman. We're to watch over that word. And let me add this to this teaching. Don't let anybody steal the word of God that's in your heart. If you got a family member that doesn't believe in healing, don't let them steal the word of healing from you. If they don't believe in the power of tongues and the power of the Holy Spirit, don't let them steal that from you. Guard over it and say, you know, I'm not going to get argumentative with you, but I know what the Bible says, and I have an experience, and I'm not going to give it up. I'm going to be a watchman over that word. Amen? And so that's something somebody needed to hear tonight. All right, so battle for the mind for tonight on Kingdom Perspectives. We're going to get a little deeper into getting that soulical man and that mindset, the nephesh, the seat of appetites, getting it into the position we need for it to be. Let me give you a couple opening statements. If I'm a new creation, then I should think like one, walk like one, and talk like one. I want you to write that down, opening statement. If I'm a new creation, then I should think like one, walk like one, and talk like one. Now, I know some people get really offended. I've been doing this for a while, and some people get really offended because they struggle in their Christianity, and they struggle with their walk, and they've been doing it for years, struggle, struggle, struggle. And I make a statement, and I say, you ought to be over certain things by a certain age. You ought to be victorious in a certain area. You ought to not be 20 years into your walk with God and still struggling with certain things. I totally believe you should have the victory, or you didn't get fixed right. Something there just was broken, and you haven't had the proper teacher, the proper person to put a word on it. And I understand that. But people get really offended by it. But listen to the statement again. If I am a new creation, then I should think like one, I should walk like one, and I should talk like one. I find it very simple, but I have a lot of people that are in the greasy, gray, sloppy, agape type of theology. They get really offended by it. They say, well, God's still working on me. Yeah, I know he is. He's still working on me too. But, I mean, if you still have a potty mouth after 20 years, I'm sorry. I can't defend you. You got an issue with your mind. You got an issue with your mouth. You're not acting like a new creation. If you're still trying to seduce people by the way you dress and the way you walk and the way you talk, and you still got that silver tongue, I wish somebody helped me. You know what I mean? You're not 18 wearing parachute pants anymore. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all just went, oh my, oh yeah, I remember those. Or you know, come on, if you're still walking around like MC Hammer and you're 60, that's cool if you want to. You want to trend, be trendy, go for it. But you get my point. At some point, take off the pajamas, take off the parachute pants, and get you a pair of Hagar slick slacks with the adjustable waistband. Oh, man. Is anybody here? You know it's the truth. And so I get a little combative with people like that because I'm like, look, it's 20 years. Where have you been going to church? What Bible have you been reading? How have you been studying? Have you really asked God to help you? So that's my opening statement. Now watch this. My attitude towards life can be positive or negative. The difference is found in how much of the word, I'm gonna repeat it, how much of the word I consume and practice. My attitude towards life can be positive or negative. You got a choice. You can look at life positively, or you can look at life negatively. There's people I know, and you know them too. They wake up and they curse that the sun's outside. Then it starts to rain and they curse the rain. They're never happy. So my attitude towards life can be positive or negative. The difference is found in how much of the word I consume and practice. In other words, if I do not have a daily dose of daily bread, my attitude will be negative. It will be negative. Because the Word of God, watch this, the Word of God will fix your broken thinking. That's what I got in my notes. The Word of God can and it will fix our broken thinking. Amen. The Word of God can fix our broken thinking. And I'm not teaching you something out of a book or something I learned in a seminary. I'm teaching you what I had to go through because of the negative background that I had, the abusive background that I grew up in, and all the stuff I saw and all the stuff I dealt with as a child. I had to allow this Bible, this Word, to penetrate those dark areas and those areas of things that I went through, things I experienced, things I saw, things I heard, and that put calluses around my mind and my heart. I had to have the Word of God break them so that I could be like Jesus, so I can learn how to love, and I can understand people's situations, and I can embrace people and embrace myself. You know, a lot of us never grow into the love of God because we're dealing with our own selves. Did you know that? Because of your past, because of your history, because of things you've gone through. Okay, but listen, the Word of God can fix that. You have to let the Word of God do it, though, okay? So my attitude towards life can be positive or negative. The difference is found in how much of the Word I consume and practice. Notice I said practice, because that's what I was getting at. Whenever you have issues in your life, you need to take the Word, and you need to practice the Word and speak the Word. If you deal with depression, you need to find every single scripture in there that talks about the joy of the Lord, talks about the blessings of the Lord, talks about the goodness of the Lord, and speak those every single day of your life. Declare them, decree them, get in front of a mirror and say, in Jesus' name, I am the head and not the tail. I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue. Come on, every tongue shall be defeated. And if you do that, not one time, but constantly, you'll find the victory through the Word of God. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? So let's go into the Bible now, and let's prove these points that I just made, and let's get fixing our brains. Amen? Let's get fixing our minds so you can be victorious in your life. Go to 2 Corinthians. Let's look at chapter 5, verse... Well, you know I'm going to want to read the whole thing. Let's look at, just begin at verse 16. Yeah, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's start at verse 16. Tell me when you're there. All right. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I want you to write the word down in Christ. It's very important that you capture this, because a lot of times we read scriptures, preachers quote scriptures, we quote scriptures, and we don't understand the totality of what is being said. Watch it again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the word in the Greek means fixed position. Write that down. Fixed position. Fixed position. That means I ain't going anywhere. I almost broke out into a Lionel Richie song, Stuck on You, but I didn't do it to you. Y'all are going to go home and listen to that. Stuck on you. I'm in a fixed position. What'd Tony say? I ain't listen to that. Nuh-uh. Mm-mm. Not me, buddy. You couldn't pay me to listen to that. Stuck on you. I'm in a fixed position, Jesus. I'm not going anywhere. If any man be in Christ, in a fixed position, in a relationship that's unmovable, in a relationship that says, I'm with you, I'm not going anywhere, because his side of the relationship, he's already saying that. He's saying, I got you. I'm not letting you go. I love you all too much. You can try to wiggle out. You can try to do what you're going to do, but I'm going to be there with grace. I'm going to be there with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to capture you. I'm going to hunt you down and tackle you. I'm going to get you because I love you. I'm in a fixed position. I'm not going to leave you. I'm forever the same. I am your high priest. I'm making intercession for you. He's in that spot. But we are to be in the same position of commitment. Is that right? So when I begin this scripture out in teaching, you have to understand it deals with your portion too. You have to be in him. You can't be wiggling and wobbling around and saying, well, I don't know, man, and half saved and half in church. You got to be fixed, okay? Because he's talking about in verse 16 about now knowing Jesus by the Holy Ghost, okay? And you're going to see this conversion and see this understanding. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, or it says creature, but it's creation. Is that right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. New creation. The word new. I'll give it to you in the Greek so you can study it out a little more. K-A-I-N-O-S. Kahinos. Kahinos, K-A-I-N-O-S, and that's 25:37 if you want to study a little further and break it down. But here's what it is. This is for the word new, okay? If any man be in Christ, if any man be in a fixed position, he is a new, kahinos, a fresh, recent, unusual. And I'm going to give you some more translation of that as we go down, but I want to give it to you just this part, okay? So he is what? He's new, but he's fresh, recent, unusual. That's why it's not creature, it's creation. So if I am in Christ, I'm in a fixed position. In other words, I'm born again. I'm no longer who I used to be. My life is fresh. It's recent. It's unusual. It's new. I am a new creation. See, again, this is what I have a hard time with, people who say, yeah, I came down there and I said the sinner's prayer, and then you go right back out and you're at the crystal slipper. I understand a guy falling. I understand, you know, trying to bring somebody in discipleship and they're working things out. But after 20 years, and now it's become a pet sin, and you think you can get away with it, and you're doing this on the side and doing that on the side and going to church and in leadership and all this different stuff and getting away with it in these churches and getting away with it in life, God's not mocked. He knows exactly what you're doing. He knows exactly what I'm doing, okay? But the reality is that I am supposed to be a fresh, recent, an unusual creation because I'm not who I used to be. There ought to be something about you when people see you say, man, that ain't the same John I knew before. How many of y'all remember when you first got saved, you turned a lot of people off that used to run around with you? We all did. That's the first sign of you getting saved is people just say, see you later. They don't want to hang around you. That's a good thing. It hurt. It hurt. If you're human, it hurt because there were people that you knew, you hung out with, and you thought for sure, man, they're going to be excited, and they find out you're born again. And they weren't too excited, were they? They lost their beer buddy and the party favor guy and the one who started all the trouble. Don't look at Cindy, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm just kidding. The words of Tim Hawkins, I'm just being serious. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things. What's old things? You're smoking, you're drinking, you're cussing, your pornography, your lust for the other opposite sex. Old things. So, someone from my past 25 years ago should be able to come into my life right now and say, I don't even know you. They ought to be able to come and say, where's Ben Faircloth? You killed him. We did. We shot him out back and buried him behind the barn. Isn't that right? But if somebody from your past 20 years ago, 15, 10 years ago, comes back and sees you and can still be familiar with you and still sees the old traits in you, those old things didn't pass away. I can really get into deeper things of spiritual warfare. That's why you got to deal with familiar spirits. Old relationships, old marriages, old situations. Cut it. Get rid of it. Say, that's old. I'm no longer that. I have no relationship with that. Because I'm going to tell you, if you don't, the devil's going to find a way to creep right back in. Yes, he will. I know it. Happened to me. I understand it. It's the process of the enemy. Is that right? But watch, if I'm in a fixed position and I understand that what I have, this new creation, I have new life and new relationship. Watch this. Old things are passed away. Everybody say passed away. Listen to this definition. The word for passed away, really for away, means this. A person moving forward or to pass by. I'm fixed in Christ. I'm in a fixed position. Everything's recent. It's new. It's unusual. It was nothing like before. I let all the things old, and I am a person who's moving forward. There's some folk going right back to the vomit. There's some folk going right back to old relationships. There's folk going right back to old sinful thoughts. There's people that go right back to this or that. Listen, there's only one time you should burn a bridge in your life, and that's with your past and your sin. Burn that sucker to the ground. Don't try to take it apart and bring the, I'm just going to carry the wood with me. I never know when I'm going to need it on this side of my life. Burn it. It's full of termites anyways. But a lot of Christians do it. Well, I'm just going to carry her picture around. You know, she was something else. Burn it. Because when you're lonely and you start thinking about curlicue, first thing you do is go get that picture. Is anybody here with me? I'm teaching better than you're looking at me, but it's okay. Old things are passed away. So I'm a person who's moving forward. I'm trying to break this down for you. I'm passing by it. I'm not going back to it. I'm passing by. Look, you want to be my friend? You come find me. I'm not going to go back to there. Like I said, most folk don't want to hang out with me anyways, and some of them are dead by now. Cindy needs an ambulance or something's going on back there again. She can't handle Wednesday nights. John, leave her at home Wednesday nights. She's redder than her shirt. And John's getting redder as a dog. Hey, laughter's good as a medicine. This might be confession night. She may be at the altar before we know it. So as a new creation, all they're probably listening and going, what in the world? I got to get over to that church, man. Yeah, Curly Q. Did you know somebody named Curly Q? Oh, okay. I could have said Sweetie Pie. All things are passed away. Behold, watch this. All things are become new. How many things? All. The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you think, the way you act, everything about your life should be new. Is that right? Now watch. Here's the other part of new. As soon as she gets done. Unprecedented. Unprecedented. This is part of the word new. For kahenos. Okay? Unprecedented. Uncommon, watch this, unheard of, unprecedented, uncommon, unheard of. Put it in that perspective again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. He's walked away from them. Behold, all things have become unprecedented, uncommon, and unheard of. About who? The guy who's in Christ. When people in my past found out I was a pastor and a preacher, that's unheard of. There ain't no way, man. I know that dude. Some of you all, too, being Christians. I can't. Mike's a jail minister. He ought to be in the jail. Come on now. Same thing about you and Curly Q and anybody else. Same thing. But this is my point. If I've been gone this far in life and this far of my Christianity, and my people and your people in the past can still recognize things about you, you've got some issues you ain't got over. You're still telling the same dirty jokes. There's some Christians who go to church and act all holy, and they talk Christian stuff around their brothers and sisters, but when they get to their old buds, they just let it loose. They can't handle it on the job. They can't be the man or woman of God on the job because they don't understand what happened in a new birth. I'm not who I used to be. Well, they're going to think this about me. They already do. At least don't let them think you're a hypocrite. Stand up and say, man, this is who I am. I love Jesus. If you don't like it, don't eat lunch with me. I'm not going to dog you out because you're a weirdo. You weirdo. Just, you know, get out of my way. In love, of course, right? But no, I'm talking about the mindset. So he's telling us if we're new, if we're in that fixed position, if what we have is uncommon, it's unheard of, then our mindset should be that way that we don't go back to the old lifestyle. Now, I don't find this hard teaching, but there are people out there that get really offended and they just constantly fall back on grace and they say, well, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I just say, you know what? Sometimes you need to grow up and be a man. You need to grow up and be a woman of God. You need to grow up and find the truth in the Bible. You're big enough to do that sin. Why don't you be bigger in that and not sin? That's the bigger man, bigger woman to me. All right? So I wanted to break that out. Now go to Romans chapter 12. If I offended you in 2 Corinthians, I should get you pretty good in Romans. John, keep your wife under control over there, please, sir. What's that? Tell you how? I don't have that answer. See me in 30 years, and I still don't have that answer. All I know is the Bible says women ought to keep silent in church. That's all I know. That's all I know. I'm just messing. All the ladies said, "Ugh." Oh, man. Are you there yet? Well, wait a minute. I'll get there. Romans chapter 12. I got this new Bible, man. It doesn't want to work with me. My old Bible, that thing. Was awesome. All right. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, verse 1, by the members of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. So we don't have to do anything now. We don't have to bring bulls and goats and the blood and all those different things. Now we got to bring ourselves. Is that right? Okay. A living sacrifice, holy, any way we want unto God. Is that what it says? Oh, your Bible don't say that. Oh, I got the new fancy-dancy version. Yeah. No. Present your bodies, holy sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Is that right? So in other words, I can't come to God any way I want to be considered a sacrifice by him. In other words, there comes a time in my maturity of God that I've got to present myself the way he wants me to be presented. Didn't say nothing about loving me. I didn't say nothing about you first getting saved. I'm just talking about there comes a time that when you understand that you are a sacrifice to God, that you need to come to him in a way that's pleasing to him. But the problem we have in the church and life is that we have the mindset of, I'm going to come to you just the way I want to come. We do it in marriage. We do it in relationships. That's what we get used to them after a while. You know, at first, when we first got married, man, we bring flowers and candies and write a card every day. And then you get married, and it's like, yeah, go make me some biscuits. Whatever. You know, all of a sudden, you know, they need to do what we tell them to do. Is that right? Now watch this. But he says, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the basic you ought to be doing, is saying, God, how do you want me to come to you? How do you want your sacrifice? How do you want your relationship? Okay, that's a mindset. That's not religiosity. That is not religiosity. That is a mindset to say, God, I want to come to you with a pure heart, a pure mind, pure relationship. I want to have my heart focused on you and keep myself clean before you. Now, how do I do that? Watch what he says. Verse 2. And be not conformed. Everybody say conformed. Do not be conformed. That word conformed, when you break it down in the Greek, it means with mind and character. Do not be conformed to this world in mind and character. Okay? My mind should not be like the world. My mind should not be thinking the world's thoughts. In other words, the world thinks this way. As soon as I get off, I'm going to go pop me a cold one. I'm going to call so-and-so. We're going to get together. We're going to do our thing. My mind thinks as the world, hey, I'd like to hook up, shack up. Hey, I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. Hey, I'm going to cheat on my taxes. Come on, somebody. All the mindset of the world. He said, don't let your mind and your character be conformed or be like the world. How many of y'all know Christians who act like I just said? Who say they're Christians. That's why I have a hard time giving that title. But they say they're Christians. They say they go to church. But they got this mindset that they can be anything they want to be and God will still love them in their condition they're in. Yes, he'll still love you, but that doesn't mean he accepts the sacrifice that you're giving. It's called holiness. So holiness is not outward. Holiness is inward, and that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the soulical man, all right? So be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Say that word, transformed. Metamorpho. Metamorpho is the word 3339. That's where we get our word metamorphosize. Metamorpho, 3339. Now check this out. When you write that down, that's M-E-T-A-M-O-O-P-H-O-O. M-E-T-A-M-O-O-P-H-O-O. 3339. Metamorphosize. So we're metamorphosizing. So he says this, be not conformed to the world, but be you metamorphosized or be you transformed. And the word means this. To transfer to another figure. This is powerful. This is powerful. To be transformed unto another figure. Let me make this statement. I am not saying that when someone gets born again, that they're automatically got all their sins taken care of, got all the chains and all the cobwebs and everything broken off. I'm not saying that. But the process of deliverance should begin at salvation, and there ought to be a fire, a passion, and a presence that proves you've been born again. That I need to clarify, because people say, well, you know, who? My gosh, who could be saved? That's not what we're talking about. Nope, 3339. 3339. Okay, you got it? Did you get the spelling too? All right, 3339. So it means to transfer into another figure. So what are we doing? We're not being conformed to the world in their mind and character, but we're being metamorphosized, being transferred into another figure. It's the same illustration that is used when Jesus was transfigured before his disciples. Transfiguration. I'm being transformed. I am being brought into somebody I never was. I'm born again. Do you see that? If I'm being transfigured, I'm being transferred into another figure. What am I doing? I am being conformed into the image of Christ. So if I'm being conformed into the image of Christ, my mouth ought to sound like it. Come on. My eyes ought to look like it. My body ought to act like it. I ought to walk like it. My character, my demeanor, everything about me ought to be Christ-like. Didn't say perfect. Didn't say perfect. But I'm being perfected, and I want to be perfected. And when I make a mistake, my heart is quick to repent and say, God, forgive me, wash me clean, and then Holy Spirit, disciple me that I'll never go that way again. This is true discipleship right here. And this will really change the church. It'll really change your life. It'll really help you really succeed in some things by getting that attitude fixed. All right, so be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. How? How, Pastor? By the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Let me give you the word for renewing. 342, and I'll spell it out. A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O. S-I-S, A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O-S-I-S, Anakinos. Try that one real fast. Just look it up. 342. You got it? Anakinos. That's pretty close. All right, so what does it mean? What's that long word mean? The renewing of the mind. You ready? Renovation. Ooh, I wish he wouldn't have said that. Renovation. How many of y'all have ever seen a renovation, been in part of a renovation, know what I'm talking about? A renovation goes to the studs, pretty much. If you're building a 2017 home, you do not leave in, you know, 1942 wiring, if my thinking's right. You get it out. You get the piping corrected. You get the asbestos out. You get everything out to the foundation, and you start all over, and you bring it back. Some even tear down the framing and start over. But basically, a renovation. That's how powerful this word is in the Greek. And how powerful of a scripture this is for you and I to be developed. Watch it again. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world in mind and character. Be you transformed or transferred into another figure. How? By the renewing or the renovation of your mind. I got to renovate my mind. I got to tear down the old images of Curly Q. I got to tear down the images of what I used to do. I got to tear down who I used to be. Come on, you talk to some folks, they're so proud of their past that was so full of sin and sickness and craziness. It's like, why do you want to utter what you used to be? I don't want to know what you used to be. I can look at you and tell you what you used to be. Right? You know, your family, your children don't need to hear what you used to be. So the renewing of the mind, the renovation. Now watch, that means this. Renovation, but it also means complete change for the better. That's pretty simple English for me. Complete change for the better. I ought to have a complete change for the better. There ought to be something about me that gets better all the time in my walk with God. That's why you can't be dormant as a Christian. I don't accept normality in Christianity. I don't accept it. I don't accept bumps on the log. I don't accept people who file in the church and act the same and leave. We can't accept that. You have to change. Love me now? I don't care how what your age is. I don't care what your stage in life is. You got to be always going from glory to glory. You always got to be increasing somehow. There ought to be a transfer of your life into the figure of Christ, to the image of Jesus. Don't you agree? Now watch this. So the renewing of your mind, or the renovation of my mind, I got to get the old junk out. I got to get the old stuff out. I got to get the old thinking out. I got to get the old pictures out. I got to get the old imaginations out. I got to get the old lust out. I'm looking at everybody. I got to get the lust out. I got to get everything out of my past. That's why I say sometimes, don't hang on to things from your past. Well, this is just a locket of her hair. I can remember her. Yeah. Once you burn it, it sends you into Fantasy Island when every time you see it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm just being honest. All right, watch this. That you may prove, say prove. The word prove, let me give it to you in the Greek. D-O-K-M-A-Z-O. Dokimazo. D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. Well, that's mazo. The other one is dokimazo, and I'll show you that one. That's 1381, and then I'll give you the root word. They're interchangeable. It's 1384, and that's D-O-K-I-M-O-S. 1381, D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. 1384, D-O-K-I-M-O-S. You got it? So if you study it out, it's going to be really cool. But it says to prove. That's the Greek word. Here's the definition of it. To test, to examine. But it gets better. Like testing metals. Like testing gold. Gold has a certain way to test it. Silver has another way of testing. So if I've been transfigured, if I had my life renewed, if I have my mind renewed, I've been in through the renovation of the Holy Spirit and he's helping me, then I will know how to prove things in my life. I'll know how to test them and determine whether they're fool's gold or not. How many of y'all have bought fool's gold from somebody in your life in a situation you were like, man, I wish I never would have bought that? We all have. Okay? But the cool understanding about this word is it goes all the way back when there was no banking system in those days. And the definition, another definition means to, watch this, it means to be approved or caused to be approved. It was a name that the Greeks gave to honest bankers or honest exchangers of money because everybody else would take the money and shave off portions of the coins to lessen the value. But they called those dokimazo. They called those people, they were approved. They were honest people. Do you see that? So God says, when you go through this process and you're being transformed, then you can be somebody that knows how to test things around you. And what's the greatest test? Here's where it is. That you may prove or test what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, let me set you straight. I know there's people who teach it, especially in this Bible Belt area in the southern parts of America. They teach that God has three wills out of that verse right there, and that is wrong. That's error. They teach it in other parts of America, but mainly in the Bible Belt. Well, you know, you can marry her. That'll be good. You know, you can go do that. God, that's acceptable to God. And then they say, you know, well, that's the perfect will of God. No, it's all one sentence. It's all one understanding that, watch it. Watch what it says. That you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Because his will is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. But it's translated wrong to where we can just, well, you know, God's all right with that. She only drinks on Saturday. She's okay. You can marry her. She can cook good, boy. How many of y'all been in churches where they just let things slide? Well, you know, he's got a gambling problem, but boy, he sure can mow the yard, so we're going to make him a deacon. You know I'm telling you the truth. Slide-eyed Willie in the back, you know, counting the offering. Is anybody here? So when I begin to understand this, I can begin the process of knowing the perfect will of God, and I won't be fooled. My mind has been trained. My heart has been trained. My life is being steered in the right way because I'm being transformed, and I can prove that which God wants me to do. And I don't have to sit and say, well, I don't know if it's the will of God or not. The reason why most people can't figure the will of God out is we have too much stuff in our head. We have too much stuffing in our head. Just like old turkey, just stuffing. Got worldly thoughts, worldly things going on, craziness going on. Ain't got no scripture floating around, just bumblebees from the world. You got to get alone with God. You got to meditate, man. You got to get in the Word of God and pray and understand His good, acceptable, perfect will. I wish they wouldn't teach that, but they do. The three wills of God. I'm sorry. There's no such thing as the three wills of God. There's one will for your life. Perfect. Anything else, you're outside of His will. To say there's other than the perfect will of God is to say that you're too lazy to find out what is right. All right, let me go on. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Let's go there real quick. Read that to you, and I've got a scripture more, and I'm going to get out your way. John's already leaving. Look at him. He's mad. Picking on the sound guy. All right. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I don't have time to break this whole thing down. You know about this scripture. For the word of God, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Get the word in you. You see, when you start thinking your own ideals and praying your own ideals, you're in danger. If you pray the word of God will help you deal with the intents of your heart. The word of God will help you bring out the truth. And I wrote this down in my notes. The word of God is the ultimate truth detector. The word of God is the ultimate truth detector. I mean, you're going to make a business decision, you better get the word on it. You better pray about it. You're going to enter in relationship with somebody business-wise, you better get the word and pray on it. If you're going to enter into a relationship, you know, marriage or whatever, you better get a word on it. Okay? Now, finally, go to Psalms 119, and I'm out your way for good. For tonight, yeah, for the good, for your good, I'll be out your way. You'll be like, good. I'll get out your way here in a minute. I know it. I can do this all night, man. I mean, the Word of God, it's awesome, isn't it? It helps us to grow, and man, I need growing. Yes, sir, every day. I'm trying not to grow outward. I'm trying to go inward. Psalms 119. Check this out. We're going to go to verse 130. 130. The entrance of thy words does what? Giveth light. Remember that word before, light? It's or. Just like it said, let there be light at the beginning. Remember I talked about what? Revelation, examination, transformation. Is that what I told you before? Revelation, examination, and transformation. He says, thy entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto who? The simple. The word simple there is open-minded. Remember the core being opened? Read it again with that understanding. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the open-minded, to the simple, to those that won't resist it, that those don't think they're so smart and they know it all. How many of y'all know if you're humble, God will increase you? Okay? So the Word of God, that's our daily bread. That can fix our troubled head. If you'll give it time, it will heal your mind, and soon you will see all is fine if you will just trust and believe. I wrote that little poem for you tonight. Amen? How do you like that? That's copyrighted by Benjamin Faircloth of McGuinty Church in Livonia, Georgia. Amen. I bless you. Father, thank you for helping us walk right, talk right, live right, act like we should. Be like Jesus. Be transformed into His very image. Father, we're not perfect, and we're trying to be like You. And I know there are many tonight that are struggling with thought patterns, thoughts, dreams, nightmares, just stuff that's going on in their life. But Father, Your Word promises us that if we just pray and speak and read Your Word, it will give light into our hearts, and it will help us see the way and to know that good, acceptable, perfect will of you. Father, help us to continue to be transformed into the image of Jesus as we continue down this path in the teaching of the battle for the mind. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. I love you. I'll see you Sunday. I'll see you Sunday. I'll see you Sunday.